A new lawsuit could have a huge impact on sales of cell phones. It could stop them cold. For Thursday, January 4th, 2007, this is PodTech News. With Macworld just around the corner, we turn to our own Michael Johnson for a prediction or two. We'll call them rumors, because that's all we've got. With PodTech News, I'm Paul Lancour, in for Jason Lopez. You may not have heard of the mild-mannered nonprofit Washington Research Foundation. You have heard of Nokia, Samsung, and Panasonic. Yesterday, the foundation filed a patent lawsuit against those companies. Seems UK-based CSR, manufacturer of the Bluetooth microprocessor found in those companies' phones, used technology controlled by the aforementioned nonprofit. The complaint seeks a financial settlement and hopes to put a stop to sales of the infringing products, at least until a licensing agreement is set up. The Washington Foundation controls patents used in CSR's chips, technology that was originally developed at the University of Washington. CSR, not named as a defendant in the suit, refutes the allegations. CSR is the top producer of Bluetooth-related chipsets and already serves more than 50% of the overall market. Macworld is just around the corner, and PodTech's Michael Johnson has a prediction that even Pat Robertson wished he'd thought of.
Macworld Expo is less than a week away, and here's the definitive information on what Steve Jobs will announce. It's an iPhone. No, wait, it's a cool new iPod, or maybe a hybrid of the two, perhaps an ITV and TiVo partnership. Well, truth be told, the rumor mill is completely out of control with wild imaginings of 8-core Mac Pro towers and Apple tablet computer or a full-screen iPod topping the collective wisdom in the blogosphere and the Mac speculation sites. On the exhibit floor, away from the fanfare of the Steve Jobs keynote, Adobe is set to show off the new Photoshop CS3 in a big way after a low profile at Macworld Expos over the last few years. And iPod accessories, which composed over 25% of the exhibit floor vendors last year, are likely to make an even stronger showing this year. The only thing that is certain is that after the show is over, a few folks on the web, a very few folks, will be able to say, "See, I told you that's what they were going to do." For PodTech, I'm Michael Johnson.
Also in Mac News, the people who brought us the month of browser bugs and the month of kernel bugs are at work on the month of Apple bugs. The effort by two goodwill hackers highlights common hacks and vulnerabilities by releasing the details of one each day for a month. Yesterday's bug made news all over the place. It was a flaw in Apple's QuickTime movie player. It involves QuickTime streaming protocol, but the bottom line is that a good hacker can use the weakness to take complete control over a user's computer. It affects all versions of QuickTime on both Macs and Windows machines. The duo behind the Month of Bugs project is not letting Apple know about the flaws they've found until they go live with them in their daily report. They hope to let Apple users know that even though Microsoft is still the main target for a lot of hackers, Apple isn't entirely safe either. You can basically split the world into two groups, those who believe Google's share price is overvalued now and those who don't. Google's stock broke the $500 mark a few months back before dropping back down again. Now there are some who say it could go up again, significantly. PodTech's Matt Kelly has more.
If 2006 was any indication, 2007 is sure to be another Google year. That's according to a leading Wall Street analyst who has raised his stock target price for the company to $630, up from $600 a year ago. Safra Rashi of Piper Jaffray bases his analysis on his belief that Google will continue to gain market share in the internet, software, and media industries, plus see plenty of growth in such services as Google Checkout Payment and radio advertising. But Rashi also made the same prediction this time last year, raising his target price to $600, far above other analysts. The stock traded only at a high of $513 in November. So how high will Google go in 2007? And what about the possible lawsuits Google may face after its purchase of YouTube? Rashi doesn't seem to be too worried, reaffirming to clients that Google remains his top large capitalization stock pick for 2007. Looks like it'll be another very Google year. In Los Angeles, I'm Matt Kelly for PodTech News.
Big news from movie rental company Blockbuster. The company that dominated brick-and-mortar movie rentals is making inroads when it comes to online movie rentals. With competition from companies like Netflix, Blockbuster said it met its year-end goal of 2 million online subscribers, more than a quarter of whom signed up in the last 3 months. For Blockbuster, the secret seems to be in combining the convenience of online ordering with the convenience of in-store shopping, keeping its less web-savvy customers while competing hard to win the business of Netflix subscribers. Both companies have strong numbers now, and some believe the market could grow to as many as 20 million subscribers. So the competition is a good one to watch, especially keeping in mind the challenge of balancing physical and virtual models. Blockbuster has more than 8,000 stores around the world. Netflix tries to reach its customers at home with one business day delivery. Conventional wisdom has it that no news is good news. Looked at one way, that's good news. Looked at another way, it means there's no such thing. That's one of the reasons a new study with some truly good results is significant. Michael Klinger has the stat of the day.
A new study seems to show that specific online games, games that challenge players to think good, can improve brain activity, especially when combined with a regimen of behaviors widely believed to be healthy, like eating well and getting exercise. The stat here, no numbers were released with this report, is this. Using your mind to understand challenges, games, problems, anything that makes it work, is more likely to help than to hurt. The news is significant, and it is good, because it means our brains adhere more to the use-it-or-lose-it rule than, say, the Goodyear rule. That rule, named for one of the companies that produces car tires, holds that the more you use something, the faster you'll use it up. In some circles, the Goodyear rule has been held as true when it comes to cognition. The new study, funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, begins to chip away at that old superstition and encourages all of us not to be afraid to go ahead and think stuff. With the stat of the day, I'm Michael Klinger.
That's it for PodTech News, produced by Matt Kelly, Michael Johnson, and Michael Klinger. I'm Paul Landcor. Thanks for listening.